Glad it was for me, aren't you? And the sins of the whole world. Leave anybody. It is a privilege to be back in the pulpit at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The thing is on it. This is my home church now. I'm one of you as a member. You're still my family. And I've preached all over the Tri-City and area the past year since I retired. Been to preach in Turkey and India and Thailand, but there's no place like Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And people say, well, did you miss it? Well, yeah, I miss you when I'm away. I've down in Athens and Kingsport, Bluntville recently, 3 Sundays, and I'll wait to get back to Buffalo Ridge because you're my family, and I love all of you. Well, I've been in great to stay here 4 to 6 years as your pastor and take your salary from you and not love you anyway. I do, in spite of I love all of them, and I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad Brother Jody is giving good leadership to the church. I'm glad of that. And things are going well. And I want you to know I'm behind Brother Jody 100%. I'm going to be behind him 100%. Whether I agree with him or not, that's what you have to do to me. You back me when you agreed with him, and you back me when you didn't. And he's God's man, the pastor. He'll, Lord bless Brother Jody more when he's wrong than you are when you're right if you have a bad attitude. Do you know that? So he's not going to go off doctrine and bore anything like that. So I just want you to know that. And people ask me about, I'm writing a book now. I don't know where I have any expertise in any field as far as that's concerned, but I'm no author. But I'm writing a book now. We'll just see how it turns out on the history of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And it's about finished and hope to be finished by October the 1st. It'll take a while to get the publisher and get everything straightened out. So I just want you to know about that. But it is good to be here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I've, as you know, pastored 4 to 6 years, and I don't have any sermons like that, 2,000 to 3,000, I'm sure. So anything I preach today would be a rerun for you. So turn to Matthew 9, verse 18, for preacher classes rerun. And they told me in school, if a sermon wasn't worth preaching twice, it wasn't worth preaching the first time. Matthew 9. Now you want me to say it, don't you? Page 1007 in your old Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. I used to tell people, I don't want them to slow down out here on the road with anything in their, I said this facetiously, with anything in their car except the King James Version. You say, you mean that? I sure do. I wouldn't say it. I mean that. But thank God for his word. I believe this is the word of God. Matthew 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Let's bow our heads and ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege, Lord, again, one more time, the side of eternity, of coming to the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for this privilege again, preaching here in this pulpit. And Lord, I know, and Lord, you know I can't preach without your help. So Lord, would you help me? Help Jesus to be glorified. May you feel your presence as the word of God goes out today. May he be exalted. Speak to our hearts through the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, meet needs. Lord, with a crowd this size, there are many needs and that people wouldn't even tell anyone. But Lord, you know all about it. And may they look to thee. Find need, their needs met through the word of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And much of the earthly ministry of Jesus took place in the city of Capernaum. Excuse me, I'm a dry preacher. I have water. But much of the ministry, earthly ministry of Jesus took place in the city of Capernaum. located near the Sea of Galilee, about 94 miles north of Jerusalem. And in the first year of his ministry, he had gone up to this city. When a ruler by the name of Jairus came to him and said, "My daughter is now dead, but if you will just come and lay your hand on her, I know that she'll live." So Jesus left and started toward the home of Jairus. And a great crowd, get the picture, a great crowd thronged Jesus as he headed toward this dead or dying daughter of Jairus and his home. And in that crowd that pressed around Jesus, on every side, there was a poor woman who had an issue of blood, that is, of blood flowing from her body, for 12 long years. And she had spent all of her money, and couldn't get a cure. But she slipped up behind Jesus and just touched the hem of his garment. And when she did, she was healed immediately, and the blood flow stopped right then. And Jesus said, "Who touched her?" And in Mark 5, the disciples said, "Well, Lord, with this, all this crowd are all around you, and you say, who touched me?" And Jesus turned around and saw this woman, and she fell down at the feet of Jesus. And it shows you the attitude of our wonderful Savior. He didn't rebuke her, which I don't have time for you now. But he said lovingly to this woman, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Isn't that just like our Savior? That's the attitude that we all have toward people. Now the Lord has always blessed me when I read this account of this unnamed woman. And I want to speak to you this morning. Now I wanted to speak when I come to this pulpit on something that I can exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as man told me, he's in church. I'm going to get off on too many rabbit tracks this morning. I'm going to let the food burn while the hangman's cooking right now. But he told me last week he came to this church in a revival 38 years ago. He taught a college in St. Petersburg, Florida. And in the Ron Comfort revival, he said, "I've got my life straightened out." He said, "I went back. My preacher," he said, "and I won't tell you what the denomination is. I'll tell you personally after if you'll come up to me." But he said he went back, and his preacher never would mention Jesus. I can't understand how man preaches. Ron's the preacher, not me. He just mentioned God all the time. He said to his pastor, he said, why do you always just mention God and never mention Jesus?" He said, "If I mention Jesus, I lose half of my congregation." Well, he didn't have much to lose. It would leave because he preached on Jesus. But anyway, I'm going to preach to you this morning on the woman who touched Jesus. Or my message could be titled, "Touching Jesus is All That Really Matters." And oh, that we had her faith today. And, you know, I still believe today in 2010 that by faith, we, and by prayer, I believe we can touch Jesus. And we don't need Benny Hinn to come and blow on us or slap us on the forehead. I believe we as Bible believing Baptists can touch Jesus by faith and by prayer. You can do it. Now, first thing about this woman, notice her, in verse 20, her disease. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment." Now, notice three things about her disease. First of all, it's painful. A medical description of her disease is that she had a constant discharge or hemorrhaging, probably caused by a tumor or some other disease of the uterus. And she had suffered this flow from her body. Just visualize it. A flow from her body for a blood for 12 years. And it was draining her life away. And her existence was one of constant pain and weakness. And Mark's gospel said it was even getting worse. Then a second thing about this condition, her disease, it was shameful. Not only did this disease cause her pain, but according to the Old Testament law, her continued bleeding made her ceremonially unclean, second in shame only to the disease of leprosy. Hold your place right here, and let's turn over to Leviticus, the 15th chapter. Hold your place, I'll be right back with it. In Leviticus chapter 15, verse page 147, your old Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 15, verse 25. As I've said before, I like to turn into the Word of God. There's not too much of it. Thank you, please. Leviticus 15:25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days, this is under the old Levitical law of Moses. She have an issue of blood, a flow of blood, out of her the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed, and notice, every bed whereon she lie, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as a bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean. Thank God we're not under the law. And let's see. And shall wash his clothes. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. But if she be cleansed of her issue now, if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, that is, after 7 days. And after that she shall be clean. And on the eighth day she shall take unto her 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So this back to Matthew 9 now. But this poor lady here in Matthew 9 had blood issuing or discharging from her body for 12 long, weary years. And because of this, she was an outcast. And she wasn't permitted to even worship. She couldn't come to the house of God for 12 long years. And I'm going to this church 3 Sundays, and I just can't wait to get back. And what if we couldn't go to any church for 12 years? I thank God for the church, don't you? For the local churches, I thank God. And she would contaminate anyone who touched her bed. Or anyone, if she had some clothes that she'd been using and put them on and they'd touch them, they'd be unclean. Or if she'd sit in a chair, that person, if they'd touched that chair, they'd be unclean. She couldn't have any close associations. Her husband hadn't been able to touch her for 12 years. She couldn't, her children couldn't touch her. And they had to keep a distance. So she suffered the shame of being a social and a religious outcast. Her disease not only was painful and shameful, but also it was incurable. Mark 5:26 says she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Luke, the writer of the 3rd Gospel, is a doctor, and he gave a diagnosis of her hopeless situation. He said in Luke 8:43, she had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Dr. Luke gives us the medical opinion. There was no hope for this dear lady. She was incurable. Thank God this morning there are no impossible cases with Jesus. I'm glad of that. Jesus passed by that day in Capernaum. And that poor lady said, I believe that Jesus can help me. I've just got to get to Jesus. He's my only hope. I'm glad this morning. I can tell you, Jesus can help you. He can help you. You've heard me tell numbers of times, you've been here a while, about when I had prostate cancer just about 7 or 8 years ago. I wanted the Lord to the Lord to let me be around real revival before I went home to be with the Lord. I've been in a few real revivals, and it's just wonderful. It's God coming down and meeting with his people. And by the way, a change in November in Washington with a Tea Party or any other party is not there. I'm not going to get on politics, but that won't answer the problem. America needs an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. That's our only hope. There's no hope. There's no political hope for America. We've gone away spiritually more. But anyway, I wanted to see a revival. And I thought, well, we'd have revival, and the house would be packed out. Where I've seen revivals, it'd be more sometimes on the outside than it would be on the inside of the church. People getting saved, and people getting helped, and people filling the altar and getting right with God. And just the Lord just comes down and meets with his people. That's what I had in mind. I didn't realize the Lord is going to send me personal revival through prostate cancer. So one night, I sort of thought I'd already never thought I had, was going to have prostate cancer. And I just already got it settled with the Lord, but my doctor called me up and told me I had cancer. Well, I'd already got peace about it. And so I just fixed to go to bed. I don't know why he called me right for my phone went to bed. But anyway, I said, honey, I can't go to bed like this. So I went over and got me a cup of coffee and read a newspaper. And I went, my honey, you just be quiet now. I'll tell you about maybe a donor or something like that. And my wife, I don't think she slept anymore the rest of the night. But anyway, I passed Tennessee's every day, headed to the Holston Valley Cancer Center for radiation treatments, 3 a day for 25 days. As I'd crossed Highway 36 there, passed through Eastman, by Eastman, crossing through, I'd turn on the Chuck Wagon Gang. And on the song, I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ my Lord. I can e'er depend on his precious word. When the clouds hang low or the skies are fair, I'm safe, I know, for my Lord is there. Amen. And folks, for 25 straight days, I didn't want this kind of revival, but this is the revival the Lord sent me. For 25 straight days in that car, as I head toward turning on, as I headed a few blocks to the Holston Valley Cancer Center there from radiation, the Holy Spirit met me every day when I turned on. I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ. That's all you need as you go down through life. You need the Lord's presence. And I'll tell you, as I go in there to get my radiation, well, it wouldn't have mattered to me if it cut my head off. I mean, I had 3 radiations a day, 25, 75, and it didn't bother me anymore than taking a drink of Pepsi Cola. And so the Lord can help us. I can stand here and say, the Lord can help you this morning. He's helped me, and he'll help you. There's help from the Lord God of heaven. There's help this morning. So her disease, then let me find out what time it is here. Her the second thing about this lady is her desire. Look at verse 21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And 3 things about her desire here. First of all, it was a humble desire. She didn't want to bother Jesus. She didn't need to ask him for healing. She just came around behind him in a lowly, unobtrusive way, just reached down and touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Psalms 51:17 says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If you want something from the Lord this morning, if you need help from the Lord, if you'll humble yourself before God and forget your pride and humble yourself before God, God will meet with you. He is a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. This lady approached Jesus in a spirit of humility. And you can, you can touch Jesus this morning. If you have a need, and I'm sure all of this audience, people have certain, you can touch Jesus if you just humble yourself this morning before the Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus can help us to go down life's pathway. Then a second thing about her desire is it was a specific desire. She kept saying over and over and over to him, oh, if I, just as she saw Jesus and that around that crowd of people, oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole. She had one specific thing about her. It possession. She wanted to be healed of that discharge of blood from her body that had been going on for 12 years. Then also it was a desperate desire. It was not only a humble and a specific desire, but it was made out of desperation. She didn't approach Jesus out of a curiosity. She wasn't a Sadducee. She had tried everything. She had spent all of her money. She was an outcast from her family. She just could not take the pain and shame of her condition any longer. And no one else in this world was able to help her, but I believe the Holy Spirit must have put within her that Jesus could. And I hope maybe if you have a need this morning, the Holy Spirit will show you Jesus can help you. Jesus can help you. He was her only hope. She had tried everything. Nothing helped her. She just had to touch Jesus and be healed of this awful disease. She was desperate. She really meant business. He was her only hope. And listen to me this morning. He is your only hope, as you see. He's your only hope. As the song says, Jesus knows all about our trouble. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord of Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Aren't you glad we have a friend like Jesus? That we can go. As 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. As I've told you many times, my mother would listen. I think it's Lee Robson's program, Gospel Dynamite, out of Chattanooga when I was a boy. And I remember, I believe every day they'd start this program with, he careth for you, that song, he careth for you. Through sunshine or shadow, he careth for you. Thank God that we have a Savior who cares just now. Then a third thing, her deliverance. Out of the time, well, I'm doing better here. I'll get you out for supper tonight. Verse 22, her deliverance in verse 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Jesus, in the first part of this chapter, had healed a man sick of palsy in verse 6. And then in the latter part of the chapter, he goes to the home of Jairus and raises his 12-year-old daughter from the dead. But this lady, with this issue of blood, she had been living in literal hell on earth for 12 years, and she just slips up behind Jesus and touches the hem of his garment, and she was delivered. She was delivered. Three things about her deliverance. First of all, it was by faith. She didn't get healed by going just because she joined a local synagogue, or because of some good works, or getting baptized, or some self-effort of some kind. Jesus said in verse 22, thy faith. The woman's faith, when she touched Jesus, made her whole. And our faith can receive, we can receive help from the Lord by putting our faith in Jesus and him alone this morning. Mark 5:27 says, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by how? By hearing. She had heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. She heard he's a mighty man of God. She heard of his miracles. And faith sprang up in her soul, and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. It was a touch of faith. And if she had touched Jesus without faith, it would not have helped her at all. And a second fact about her deliverance, it was instantaneous. Matthew says in verse 22, and the woman was made whole from that very hour. Mark 5:29 says, straightway, fountain of her blood was dried up. She bled no longer. Luke 8:44 said her deliverance was immediate. Just as soon as this dear lady reached out and touched Jesus, she was delivered. And as quick as you can snap your finger. I don't know how Brother Joey, he can snap his finger and hear it for a mile here. But anyway, she was healed as quick as you can snap your finger. And Jesus, I want her to stand up this morning. The reason I chose this, I want her to stand up and brag on Jesus in this pulpit this morning. The older I get, the more I just want to brag on Jesus. Amen. Lift him up. Jesus can help you today. I don't know what problem, what need you have. There are many here today, I'm sure, have great needs. He can save you. If you don't have the assurance of your salvation, if you were to die right now, in your condition, if you don't have never been saved, never been born again, if you've never been born again, a little profession, a little baptism, a little church membership won't get you to heaven. You've got to be born again. And if you'll come and humble yourself before the Lord and ask him to save you, he'll save you. Him that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. And he can restore you. If you've once known the Lord, the Lord's not real to you like he used to be. You can't get anything out of reading the Word of God. You can't get a prayer. You can be restored if you just come and humble yourself today. He can heal your broken spirit. You can leave this church today with help from the Lord. I can't help. I tell you what, I can't. This church can't help you, but Jesus can help you today. You know, I've been preaching for 57 years, and I'd never preach another sermon if I didn't believe that Jesus could deliver us, help us as we go down through life. I believe that. I'm convinced. I know he can. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Her deliverance was by faith. It was instantaneous. And a third fact about her deliverance, it was complete. I'm glad whatever the Lord does, I mean, he does a good job. Aren't you glad about that? The moment, the very moment she touched Jesus by faith, the fountain of her blood just quit. And she was made whole. It was a complete deliverance. It wasn't a partial deliverance or a gradual deliverance. It was an instantaneous deliverance. Jesus made her free from, just think now, just think. Here's this woman. She couldn't even go home around her children and husband. Anything she touched, she'd be unclean. She had to stay away. Now she was healed and she went home. Can't you just picture when the children saw mama come and they could run and embrace her for the first time in 12 years. First time in 12 years, she could embrace her husband and visit with her friends. And also, she could go back to God's house and worship with the people of God. What a privilege was denied her for 12 long years. Now, this same Jesus who made this lady whole can make you whole. This morning, he can do it. Listen, you say, well, preacher, you don't know my problem. Nobody. Oh, yes, Jesus is able to help us with all our problems. Your problem is not, your problem would just be a little thing for the Lord to help you with. And he can, Jesus, if it'd be a little thing just to touch anyone with and make you whole this morning, help you with that need. There are a lot of hurting people around. Many people with moral stains. Our society is full of people moral stains. They use their body to satisfy the lust of the flesh. But I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus can make you pure. The blood of Jesus Christ can make you pure in God's sight. I remember it was Harold Seidler, many years ago, still there in Winston Chapel. That's been a long time ago, but I remember this. He said down in their church in Greenville, South Carolina, there was a prostitute, a streetwalker that got saved at the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And he said every Sunday she sang now, a streetwalker, a prostitute, sings in the choir. And I'll never forget, he said she was as pure as a down on the angel's wings. Now the Lord can cleanse us of all sin. He said, preacher, you don't know my sin. Oh, he can cleanse us. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from A, double L, all sin. And there's millions of people all around us, everywhere, bound by alcohol and drugs and other some bad habit. But you know, Jesus can deliver you and set you free. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you again about Uncle Jim. I've told you over years, so some of you haven't heard about him. Uncle Jim is one of the worst drunks I ever saw in my life. And when he was a boy, my grandmother Lashley, she was an old-time Christian. She'd shout on the way to church and start talking about Jesus. I'm glad I grew up where Jesus was not, used the name Jesus wasn't friendly. I don't mind anybody to be against the name. If they'd ask me to come to the Capitol and pray, if I couldn't pray in Jesus' name, they'd get them a rabbi or some Mormon or some Muslim to pray. But anyway, I'm going to get off on that. Y'all not get me off on things like that. You know better than do that pretty light. My Uncle Jim, as it was a teenage boy, and I understand he probably maybe was already started in sin. And on my grandmother Lance's deathbed, she said, Jimmy, I want to meet you in heaven. I want to meet you in heaven. Well, Uncle Jim become an awful drunk. And when I was a boy, he'd come down the road with a hawk bill knife out, staggering all down the road. There and the men would come out and fight. And he was just a little man, walked probably come under my arm right there. I don't think he ever wanted to fight his life. He'd come out and when he got drunk, he thought he had that Hulk Bill knife. But when he'd come down the road staggering with the Hulk Bill, I was a little boy. I'd take off running, I'll guarantee you that. I got away from him. But One time he was lying on a railroad track, passed out, and the train was coming. A little 12-year-old boy pulled Uncle Jim off the railroad track. Train came through. I believe my grandmother Lash's prayers kept him out of hell. And moms and dads, your prayers will keep your children out of hell. Oh, don't give up. You can't give up. You can't. But let me quickly get what time. But a great revival came to my hometown when I was 18 years old. I was getting ready to go down and play football in Mississippi. And every night after supper, we'd go up, Daddy and the three kids at home, Mom would walk up to Moxon Hollow to the revival. Oh, what a great revival. Oh, I'd like to get around a revival like that again. And people are saved about every night. People getting right with God, rejoicing in the Lord. And they open the windows, about as many people outside looking. People get under conviction, sitting in homes all around up in that hollow, getting conviction, come in, get saved in that revival. And Uncle Jim came one night. Well, being back to this, my dad saw Uncle Jim come down the road one day, cussing and daring people to come out, staggering, and daring to come out to fight, had that knife out. Daddy said to his other brother, their brother Jim, he said, Will, I've given up. Uncle Will was a lay preacher. He said, no, Mark, homes, there's life, there's hope. And a great revival came to both Moxon Hollow. Uncle Jim came one night. He sat right over here, right on about the second or third row. He didn't get saved that night, but he went under the mining coal the next day, and was under conviction all day long. People need to get under conviction before they really get born. So I'm not getting people born again. We're not getting them under conviction. But they're needing Christ, and they're lost without Christ. And Uncle Jim's under conviction. He knew everything lost. When a person knows they're lost, you help them. You know that. And he didn't get saved that night, but under the mine coal all that. He came in, and while Aunt Burley got his supper, he went down, walked down behind the house, down a creek, got under a willow tree, on his knees and got saved. And when he came that night, after the first song, Uncle Jim jumped up and said, my mom's prayer had been answered. And Uncle Jim got saved by the grace of God. And listen, he never touched a drop of liquor the rest of his life. The new birth will put you out of the drinking business. Well, let me hurry on here. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, you know, there's maybe you've lost love. Maybe you're grieved over that. The Lord, under Jesus, understands. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad of that. Maybe you're out of the will of God this morning, saved but far from God. My heart goes out to you. But I know this, if you're saved and out of the will of God, can't get a prayer through, and the Bible's can't get anything out of the Bible, you know, the Lord still loves you. You're still his child. You're still his child, and he can restore you. He can use you again if you'll just humble yourself before him. He can come on to him. Maybe you're here this morning without Christ, never been saved, without God, without Christ, without hope in this life or the life to come. Your only hope now, my friend, is Jesus. Come and join this church when we help you one day. Get baptized when we help you. You need to come to Jesus. Trust him. Just trust in Jesus. Get saved. He'll forgive you all your sins and wash in his blood. And you can leave these doors, a child of God, on your way to heaven. This poor lady with this issue of blood saw Jesus passing by. She thought, now is my chance. If I just will touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she reached out and touched Jesus and was made whole from that very hour. Now, Jesus is passing by at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this morning. Why don't you, this morning, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, why don't you just reach out by faith and touch Jesus to meet whatever that need you have. He can do it. You can walk out of here, that need met. Now is your chance. The Lord is giving you another opportunity. Why don't you just reach out by faith this morning and touch Jesus? He can help you with whatever need you have. Let's bow our heads for prayer. almost through. Unless it's an emergency, don't leave. How many would say, Preacher Lassley, God's spoken to my heart this morning. If there's, I've got a need, maybe you're out of the will of God. Maybe there's a situation in your home or in your life, or there's a medical problem or some great need that you need the Lord's help this morning. And you say, Preacher, pray for me in that closing word of prayer. Just slip your hand up. Preacher, have a great need. Yes, God wants others to slip their hand up. Yes. Maybe you're here and this morning you've never been saved. You say, Preacher, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know that I'm saved. If you'll come to Jesus, he said, he would come around on my stuff. If you'll come, humble yourself for him, he'll save you. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life or whatever the need is. You need to make a decision for Jesus. He can get saved, rededicate your life. Let me pray for you. Just slip your hand. Someone like that, just slip your hand up. Ever been saved? Or you have been saved and need to rededicate your life? Just slip your hand and I'll pray for you. Slip in the power of sin. We'll pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer this morning. Thank you for the privilege one more time of standing behind this pulpit here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, I've tried my best to lift up Jesus as the answer to the need of the human heart. I know you're the need, Lord, of you that can meet the need. I know you love us and you care for us. You're able to help us when we humble ourselves before thee. Lord, people here with needs today, I pray they'll come and to this altar and today turn that need over, Lord, and seek his help and find help from you. Have your way now in this invitation. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.
To you. Thank you, preacher, for bringing and preaching for us again today. And we're glad to have you with us. Tonight, Ron Ribeiro, missionary to Brazil, will be with us tonight. He's doing a great work for the Lord in Brazil. I know you won't want to miss that tonight. 6:30, be back tonight. And Lord bless you as you go. Brother Scott Martin, if you would close us in prayer, please.